Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Male Female Hour on the Dennis Prager Show. Every Wednesday at this hour, I talk about men and women, the male and female of the human species. And my, I guess, is this my first guest on the Male Female Hour? Yes, it's almost always you and I. But I read an article in The Atlantic. In fact, I read it off the coast of the Maldives Islands, off the coast of India, on the cruise with you listeners we took this past year, and it was riveting. It is titled Marry Him. The author is Lori Gottlieb. We have her online, and I'll introduce you, Lori, in a moment, and you'll introduce yourself as well. I just want to read some excerpts, folks, from this piece in The Atlantic. Is it up at PragerRadio.com? We're putting it up there so you can read it yourself from The Atlantic. And this is a, by the way, you still single?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. Because that's a factor in the thing, but I thought maybe after the column you were deluged with offers from men.
You know, I was.
I didn't say it tongue in cheek. I did think you might be.
Yeah. It was interesting.
I'm sure it was. I want to hear about that, but first, it's a very, very well-written piece, folks. Very well-written, and it comports with so much of what I believe and have been saying, but to hear it from a single woman in The Atlantic is more powerful than hearing it from me. After all, I'm a male. But here are some lines from it. Said, my advice is this. Settle! Exclamation point. That's right. Don't worry about passion or intense connection. Don't nix a guy based on his annoying habit of yelling bravo in movie theaters. Overlook his halitosis, that's a tough one, I admit, by the way, or abysmal sense of aesthetics. Because if you want to have the infrastructure in place to have a family, settling is the way to go. Based on my observations, in fact, this is terrific. Settling will probably make you happier in the long run, since many of those who marry with great expectations become more disillusioned with each passing year. And she writes, we'd be loath to admit it in this day and age, but ask any soul-bearing 40-year-old single heterosexual woman what she most longs for in life, and she probably won't tell you it's a better career or a smaller waistline or a bigger apartment. Most likely she'll say that what she really wants is a husband, and then in parentheses, and by extension, a child. To the outside world, of course, we still call ourselves feminists and insist vehemently even that we're independent and self-sufficient and don't believe in any of that damsel in distress stuff. But in reality, we aren't fish who can do without a bicycle. We're women who want a traditional family. And despite growing up in an era when the centuries-old mantra to get married young was finally, and it seemed refreshingly, replaced by encouragement to postpone that milestone in pursuit of high ideals, education, career, but also true love, every woman I know, no matter how successful and ambitious, how financially and emotionally secure, feels panic occasionally coupled with desperation if she hits 30 and finds herself unmarried. And again, she makes the case over and over. So, folks, settle. You're not going to get this romantic ideal. You'll just get a real guy, and then you have a partner. All right, so that's what you wrote, and it was very, as I say, very well written. Tell us a little about yourself. Were you ever married?
No, I wasn't married. I've been in a number of long-term relationships.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're a writer?
I am, yeah.
And have you written for The Atlantic before?
I have. In fact, a few years ago, I wrote a piece for them when I was pregnant. I had a baby on my own, and it was about my decision to break up with my boyfriend because I didn't feel like he was the one, and to have a baby on my own, hoping that I would find true love later. And so this piece, Marry Him, is sort of a follow-up to that, those romantic ideals that I had at the time.
In light of your openness, and you're obviously free not to answer, but in light of your openness, do you wish you had followed your own advice then and married the father of your baby?
Well, the father of my baby, I used a sperm donor for my baby.
Oh, okay, fine. So do you wish you had married this guy and had him as husband and father to that baby?
You know, I don't. I don't think that he was right for me, but I do, you know, I do offer this piece as advice to younger women, because I think that what my mistake was is that when I was in my early 30s, I passed up a lot of guys that, you know, were just great guys, but for whatever reason, I didn't think that they met whatever romantic ideal I had. And so I either didn't go on second dates with them, or I didn't even consider going on dates with them, or they became, you know, the guy friend. And then they, of course, married somebody else. And then later on, I thought, wow, you know, I missed out.
Yep. The phone number is 1-8-PRAGER-776. The honesty of the piece is almost breathtaking. And my I didn't get a chance to read the letters to the editor. Did they run 50-50, 90-10 against you? How did they run?
You really have to kind of break it down by demographic. The, you know, married people were the most supportive of the article because they said, you know, that's absolutely right. I have a line in the piece about how, you know, marriage is really, it's not a passion fest. It's really, you know, this partnership formed to run a very small, mundane, nonprofit business. And I meant that in a good way.
Yes.
That seems now, you know, your values and your needs change as you get older. And, you know, I would love to have that. That sounds so romantic to me. But, you know, when you're, you know, in your late 20s and early 30s, you want sort of this, you know, what the media kind of portrays is what love is supposed to look like. And that's not what love looks like in most really good marriages.
Yeah, it looks like it for 2 hours in a movie.
Right. Exactly. And you know,
so single women were angry in the letters.
Well, not all of them. You know, a lot of single women wrote to say thank you because you're saying something that we always talk about and we think, but you know, we can't say it out loud because people find it really offensive. And in fact, when you look at sort of what happened in the blogosphere, there are a lot of really angry voices out there saying that you know, they're very upset with what I said and feel that it's not realistic and it doesn't speak to most women, whereas the women who wrote to me said the opposite, and they said, you know, I can't post anything on the blogosphere because I'm getting flamed. Because nobody, you know, it's just not politically correct in this day and age to say that about women. It makes us sound like a throwback to the 50s. And that's not what I'm saying. In fact, I think the word settling is what's upsetting people the most, because what I'm really saying is, look, be realistic. And, you know, unfortunately in our culture, we call that settling, but I'm saying, you know, really, that's not settling. We've come to believe that we need a 10 in life, and, you know, you're not a 10 either.
Here is one of the things when I read it, I thought, I really want to ask this woman. I even read it before. You make this passing reference to what was, in my time, one of the great feminist lines, a woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle.
Right.
And, of course, you have contempt for that view because you're acknowledging, you know what, we really do want a man. In fact, we want a man more than we want anything else, which to say sounds as if there is something pathetic. But why is that pathetic? I think it's the most wonderful thing a woman can say. Why is it pathetic? What perverse thing has happened to society that for a woman to say that is demeaning?
Well, I address that in the article where I say, you know, it sort of implies that there's this power structure that people find offensive, which is that if we really are so in need, meaning emotional need, not financial need, but in need of a man, then it you know, there's sort of this whole kind of like dating hierarchy that happens, and that's just reality. I mean, you know, when men are 40, they can still find viable life partners that are, you know, extremely attractive, and I don't mean just physically attractive, but in all ways. And when women are 40, you know, the dating pool is very different. And so I'm acknowledging that power structure, and I think that's very threatening to a lot of people.
When I was in my 20s, I read a critique of, and I'm going to talk to you about left-right, not politically, but culturally, that is exactly about that. The article is Marry Him, We'll Be Back. This is the Male-Female Hour on the Dennis Prager Show. My guest is Lori Gottlieb, a writer and single woman who wrote a powerful piece for The Atlantic. And I was shocked that The Atlantic published it, frankly. It was so politically incorrect. And it's titled, Marry Him, The Case for Settling for Mr. Good Enough. That's right. Instead of Mr. Goodbar. a play on all of these words. I was going to tell you, Lori, about you were talking. We were talking about the inability or the non-desirability of so many women to acknowledge that the thing that they want most is a good man. And, of course, the feminist message of a woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle. And you said, well, they didn't want to acknowledge this, the quote-unquote power structure that a man has greater choice at 40 than a woman does. And I was about to tell you something that opened my eyes in my 20s. And it was about a lot of it was about feminism and other stuff that the cultural left, I'm not talking politics here, there's no politics in the male-female hour, essentially. But they said there's a rebellion on the part of many of these people against, and then they use the French, les faits de la vie, the facts of life. And that's how I have really understood a lot of feminist ideas. It's a rebellion against the facts of life.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, I agree partly with that. I think that it's really, you know, I got a lot of mail from men too, saying that, you know, there's just this pickiness in general with men and women in dating, but they were saying in particular, they find that like while, you know, they could be dating like an 8 instead of a 10 and be perfectly happy with that, that the women think, no, well, maybe I can find somebody, you know, taller or more successful or this or that. And that women are just, you know, in general, they don't want to sort of accept reality.
Yeah. It's the romantic vision versus the realistic vision. And the point is the realistic vision produces more romance.
Right.
That's the key. That's the key. Now here's a question that I pose. Do you live in New York?
I live in L.A.
Oh, you live in L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you should have come into the studio. I'm so used to having people from all over the world, literally, that we don't even bother telling them to come in. But that's all right. I have no problem. In fact, I like the phone interviews, but it's ironic because you do live in L.A. All right, so L.A., New York, it's very similar in many ways. This doesn't go over well with the urban, sophisticated, educated, liberally inclined female. So how did women that you know in your life react to this piece?
Well, I think they reacted quite well, actually. A lot of them are interviewed for the piece. And, you know, I think what happens is as you start to talk to people more in depth about relationships and what they're looking for in life, you know, the quotes that you see in the article are quotes from my friends. So, you know, but again, they wanted their names changed because they didn't want to be, you know, go public with that. So I think that these are things that a lot of women think, but because in our culture it's so difficult to talk about because of the reaction that they might get.
All right, let me then be very direct here and get your reaction. I think whatever good may have been done, feminism ultimately caused terrible pain to untold numbers of women by having them deny, A, their deep differences with men. Oh, I want to put this in family friendly terms. You can enjoy emotionless, commitmentless sex just as much as men. And B, you don't need a man. You need a career, to be really self-realized. And now, there are a lot of unhappy and even according to reports, there are far more depressed women than men. And I believe that that is a big factor.
Yeah, I don't completely agree with that. I think that, in fact, I don't know any women, even happily married women, who don't work, because I think that work is a big part of who we are. But given the choice, if you had to say, you know, you've got this great career, but, you know, you're alone, I think that people want both. And so... I also think that in the end, what happens to be very fulfilling for women in a way that maybe men could live without is having that family. And not all women want children and not all women want that family, but I would say a majority do. And so I don't think feminism was about, I mean, I think if there was any sort of error in terms of how feminism was interpreted. It was that you, you know, go for the career instead of the family. But I think that, you know, women really do want the family.
Well, all I could tell you is it would be fascinating, and you would have a great way to do this right now, and that is to go on any college campus, any, and just randomly take 40 women from freshman to senior, and say to them, what do you most want for happiness? And see what they would answer. Or do this, but I have done this on airplanes when I've met, when I've sat next to, let's say, a college girl. And I said, you know what, I'm a talk show host, so I ask people a lot of questions. So let me ask you a question. If you could have a great career or a great husband, which would you choose?
What do they say?
A career, almost always.
Right. But you know, what's interesting is that when I did this article, a lot of the stuff didn't end up in the piece just because of space, but, I asked some women who, you know, there were a lot of women who said to me in their late 20s, they said, you know, oh no, I can, you know, I would love to get married and have kids, but if it doesn't happen, I think that it'll be okay. And then I talked to women in their 40s who said, you know, I used to say that when I was in my late 20s. And I truly believe that, but I don't believe that now.
Yeah, but that's my point.
Exactly.
They were taught to believe it. No women in the history of mankind ever believed it before the feminist movement.
Right, but I also think what's great about the feminist movement is that we can have careers because it does mean a lot to a lot of women. I think that there was a lot of good that was done. I think that the problem is that we thought we could have everything. And, you know, even men can't have everything. You know, just nobody can have everything. That's not life. And so the feminist movement sort of said, well, you can have everything, you can have it all, and it's just not possible for any human being to have it all. But particularly if you want to be a mom, you really have to make some compromises.
All right, let's take your calls. 1-8-PRAGER-776, Lori Gottlieb. By the way, I was told that they're going to be making a film out of your article?
Yeah, the book rights and the film rights were...
So you're writing a full-length book on this?
Right.
Oh, very good. And I'm sure you did not expect that to happen.
No, I didn't. It was surprising, the reaction that I got.
Right. You know what you should put at the end? As happy as I am that a movie was made from my book, I still want the right man. You should put that as, you know.
I'll let you write the copy.
1-8-PRAGER-776. You get a chance to talk to Lori Gottlieb and me. I'm Dennis Prager. This is the Male Female Hour. And this is the Dennis Prager Show. Dennis Prager here, and this is the Male Female Hour. Every week at this hour, mark it down, Wednesdays this hour. Second hour of the show is devoted to men and women and all the subjects therein. And I've been getting a lot of email on it. It's obviously hit a lot of sensitive, and that's a good thing in the best sense, spots. Lori Gottlieb has written this article for The Atlantic. It's up at PragerRadio.com at the blog, titled Marry Him, The Case for Settling for Mr. Good Enough. And yes, she says settle. That's right. Because it's better to be married with somebody you settle for than to spend your life alone or unmarried or whatever term you wish to use. You have in here, and I'm going to go to the calls momentarily, take the date I went on last night. I'm quoting from your article. The guy was substantially older. He had a long history of major depression and said, in reference to the movies he was writing, I'm fascinated by comas. See, if it were me, I would have said, I'm fascinated by commas because I love reading. But comas, yeah, I have to admit, I would have, like you, I'd have been wondering. And I have a strong interest in terrorists, unquote. He'd never been married. He was rude to the waiter, but he very much wanted a family, and he was successful, handsome, and smart. As I looked at him from across the table, I thought, yeah, I'll see him again. Maybe I can settle for that. But my very next thought was, maybe I can settle for better. It's like musical chairs. When do you take a seat, any seat, just so you're not left standing alone? Did you ever see him again?
You know, I did.
Okay, do you want to go further, or should we leave it there?
We'll leave it there.
Okay, that's fair. All right, let's take some calls here. And where is, I want to take this one in Philadelphia. Terry in Philadelphia, you're on with Lori Gottlieb and Dennis Prager. Hi.
Hi, both of you. Dennis, my husband and I went to see you, and Bernard Lewis at University of Pennsylvania. It was wonderful.
Oh, it was a great night. Thank you for coming.
Great night.
Thank you.
It was my pleasure. Lori, you've hit upon such a nerve. I am quite the feminist. My husband and I are both physicians. and our 17-year-old daughter, who were grooming for college, confessed to her grandmother, because she was afraid to tell us, that she really, her highest ambition is to get married to a wonderful man and have 2.5 children and a nice house. And this really came as a shock to me and my husband. And,
where did you go wrong?
We're great with it now. I'm quite the housewife, even though I'm a doctor. And I was just really taken aback that a 17-year-old girl said this.
Yeah, that's surprising. And by the way, in the article, I'm not, you know, sort of advocating being a stay-at-home mom for everybody. It's really just about the fact that, you know, don't forget to, like, you know, when you're in your, you know, 20s and 30s, don't forget that if you want to get married and you want to have a family, that's the time when you're going to find someone to do it with. And that's basically what I'm saying.
Right. And God bless you for doing it. I have said this for all the years that I've been broadcasting. If your daughter, for that matter, your son, and I've said that too. My older son got married at 23.
I'm not saying, you know, that your highest ambition should be to stay home with the kids. I'm just saying that if you want to have a family, when whatever you end up doing, whether you work or you don't work.
No, but you're saying, I'll put it in my words and you tell me if this is what you're saying. All right, so that I'll be able to quote you accurately when you're not around to correct me. You are saying that girls, women in your 20s, don't put this off just because you're so young and you think at any time when you're ready, you'll find a man. If you find a good man now, get married. Do whatever you will with your career, but if you find a good guy now, get married.
Well, I'm also saying don't overlook the good guys now. I mean, it is kind of like, you know, I made this analogy where if, you know, we think that we can have everything, and so we want the best career, we want the best guy, we want everything. And so we think we're looking for the 10. And so we have, like, you know, we date these guys who are 8, and they're great. And we say, oh, but maybe I can find something better. So you hold out for the 10, but then when you're 40, you can only get, like, a 5. And so you've been holding out for the 10. You gave up the 8 only so you can have the 5, which really is settling. I don't think the 8 is settling. I think the 8 is a catch. And you forget that you're not a 10 either. And so, you know, I'm just saying, look, when you meet these guys that you think I'm supposed to have some kind of, like, you know, divine spark and I'm supposed to feel this way that I see in the movies, well, that's just not reality. And if you're going to hold out for that, you're going to end up alone.
We'll be back in a moment with Lori Gottlieb. I'm Dennis Prager. The Male Female Hour on the Dennis Prager Show every Wednesday at this time. Hi, everybody. Lori Gottlieb has written this article at The Atlantic. Is it called the Atlantic Monthly anymore? It's just the Atlantic. I mean, I read it all the time, but I don't remember if they changed their name.
Yeah, I refer to it as the Atlantic, but they may still officially be the Atlantic Monthly.
Yeah, they have a lot of good articles, and yours certainly was a terrific one. It's called Marry Him, The Case for Settling. Single Woman, and it's at PragerRadio.com. You can click on there and read it. And if you want to get this and play this for your daughters, by the way, it is... Who still believe that, well, they'll find the guy. You know, the line that I get the most is, oh, no, I'm not against marrying. That's the line I most get from many college-educated women. Oh, I'm not against it, but, you know, I'm pursuing my career. And, you know, if the right guy comes along, but it's not, they don't have, you know, I'll get married, and if the right career comes along, I'll take it. It's the emphasis is on the career, and you know, and I know you put a great value on that, Lori, but we have, interestingly, some dissent on that, which I'd like to take here. Let's go to Tucson, Arizona, and Deborah. Hi, Deborah. You're on with Lori Gottlieb and Dennis Prager. Hi.
Hi, Dennis. I am such a fan of yours. I'm honored to speak with you.
Well, thank you very much.
And, Lori, thank you for writing the article. I worked in advertising for 35 years, and I must say, I think I was addicted to meetings and quotas and appraisals and bonuses, and my performance was the performance was my value. And when I quit my job at about 53, I was 53 when I quit my job, it was at that point that I realized I had given 90% of myself to work and 10% to my family, and I spent the next couple of years learning my son and my sister and my husband, and no job can give me that time back. And I would so, I hope that young women read your article and get that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'm not really talking so much in my article about career versus family. I'm really talking about the fact that if you want to have a family and you want to have a partner to do it, as opposed to doing it alone like I ended up doing, you really need to be realistic in your expectations of, you know, what this husband is going to be, that he's not going to be sort of this one-stop shopping, that, you know, he's going to fulfill you on all these different levels. The way that men talk in the article is they say, you know, I get some satisfaction at work and I get some satisfaction at home, and they're different. And it would be great if I got all of that from one person, but no one person can kind of do all of that for you. So I'm not really addressing in the article.
Right. That's a part two, which I obviously say with respect, because that's why I'm having you on, and I wish you the book, the movie, well. I hope you find a Mr. Good Enough, if not even better. But a lot of the calls, as exemplified by Deborah in Tucson, are saying there is a conflict here. It isn't only that we were not told about the importance of marriage. It's that we were told, we were oversold on the importance of career. And
well,
I know you don't address that, but I think it's worthy of addressing.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think that if I hadn't been doing the careers that I had been doing, if I hadn't been out in the world doing interesting things, I actually wouldn't have met all of the interesting men that I did. Now, I wasn't smart enough at the time, didn't have the wisdom and the insight to say, these are great guys and I should really pursue them romantically. But I met so many interesting people that I wouldn't have met, and I think who wouldn't have been interested in me, by the way, if I didn't really have anything going on in my life.
That is a very interesting subject for another male, a female hour. You just gave it to me, and I'm going to use your clip as an intro then. Is that what men most want? Is that what most men most want in a woman, and that is accomplished career-wise?
Not even accomplished, but just having interests.
Why does career and having interests, why are they at all even put in the same sentence?
Well, because if you don't pursue your interests, you know, what do you do all day? You know, what do you think about all day?
Well, there's reading.
I mean, if they just want, you know, like, you know.
Listen, I want to tell you something which I discovered, which was absolutely illuminating and wonderful for me to find out. The number, about half of my listeners are women, which is not typical for talk radio. And what they tell me when I come, you know, around the country speaking or an email, mm-hmm. Not all, because some of them have careers, obviously, but those who are at home say, you, and not only me, but you, talk radio, you are my intellectual companion while I am working with my kids. And so it's, they don't lack for any interest that the woman who's going out as a doctor, first of all, a doctor, for example, and my brother's a doctor, and I go to doctors when I'm not feeling well. I'm very pro-doctor. But doctors have, it's not the most interesting, broadening world. I mean, there's just so much you get from lung work. So let's not romanticize career either. That you can be far more broadly interested. You happen to have a career that brings you into every area because you're a writer. That's an infinitesimally small number of people.
Well, no, I agree with you, Dennis, that I think, you know, colleagues are overrated. I'll go with that. But, you know, if you ask people, you know, do they get their intellectual stimulation at work, a lot of them will say, you know, not necessarily through their colleagues. But if they're pursuing something that they're very passionate about, even take a doctor. Now, that might not be the most stimulating field for you, but if you imagine somebody who's really interested in, say, multiple myeloma, and they want to find a cure for that, that's incredibly interesting to that person.
You're right, but it isn't incredibly broadening, and they're not a terrific discussant at a dinner party. Not nearly as much as the woman who's taking care of kids all day and listening to talk radio and reading books. Anyway, we'll continue, and I want to get as many calls in as possible for Lori Gottlieb and her remarkable and fine article from The Atlantic Again, available at PragerRadio.com. This is the male-female hour. 1-8-PRAGER-776. Dennis Prager here. Last segment of this edition of the male-female hour. My guest, Lori Gottlieb, has written this powerful piece, Marry Him, The Case for Settling for Mr. Goodenough. And I could give you more and more terrific lines from the article, but you should read it for yourselves. And it's at PragerRadio.com at the blog area. And Lori will go to another call here in Encino, California. Marcy. Hi, Marcy. You're on with Lori Gottlieb and Dennis Prager.
Yes. Hey, I think Lori's right on the money. I had some wonderful advice given to me when I had career fulfillment. I was in my early 30s and said, uh-oh, where are the men? And a woman's mother said to me, honey, all you need is a shred of humanity. Everything else is negotiable. You can go from there. And it opened my eyes. I wanted a human being, not an ideal.
And what happened?
I got married.
And what happened then?
I got married, and I'll tell you, there's one thing I learned in the first 5 years. Men are very different. And there would be times he would say something or do something, and I would think, who is this person? But then you don't panic. You give it time, and you realize he's kind, he's sweet, he's honest, and we've been happy for 21 years.
What a great call. What do you say, Lori?
See, that's so interesting. I agree with that. I think kindness and humor is really what you need. I got so many letters from married women who said, you know, I settled, and I'm truly in love with my husband now. And then I got letters from married women, like one that stands out is, somebody said, you know, I married the love of my life, and I feel like I'm settling every day of my marriage. Because she had all those sparks, and then it wasn't like that.
Well, that's why I said earlier that in all of life, I find this, that sober views lead to more romantic life than romantic views lead to a romantic life.
Right.
And not that there aren't such things as love of one's life. They exist. But the point is that what you're saying is accurate. There was a man, a Hasidic rabbi. In fact, many of my listeners know him, Shmuley Boteach. He's the one who said this to me many years ago, the author of many, many, many books. And he said, Dennis, we have a different view than most Americans do about marriage, we being his Hasidic community, ultra-Orthodox Jews. And he said, most Americans fall in love, then get married, and then fall out of love. We get married, and then we fall in love.
Yeah, and I think that the part of it is that we, you know, I think there's something wrong. Like even in my book, I had said, you know, the title of the book is I Love You, Nice to Meet You, because people say I love you so quickly when they've seen the person's apartment maybe three times. It's like, how can you love that person? You don't know anything about that person. And it's really a process of falling in love with somebody.
Well, Lori, I hope we meet, and I would certainly have you on when the book comes out and the movie comes out and then the CD. And I'll say I knew her when it was just a little Atlantic Monthly. But beyond all, I wish you a good man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This is Dennis Prager. This has been the Male Female Hour.